initiation ceremony according to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has an essence, and the essence is two things: submission and acceptance. The accepting person is Krishna, and Krishna works through the disciplic succession, and the submitting person is the initiate, and the submission goes to Krishna through disciplic succession. So that's the essence. And he explains, the experience of initiation is going to be different according to the degree of submission. And then he goes on to say that submission may slacken. And if submission slackens, then we hear what Uma was speaking about yesterday. Some people drift. And when people slacken in submission and drifting starts, what happens is the previous tendencies that one has risen above again start to become activated. What one used to do before one became a devotee starts to find its way into one's life again. And then it's further accumulation of guna and karma, but that's the next thing that happens when submission slackens. It's like something that the Prabhupada said specifically during his time. He wanted, because the Hare Krishna movement at that time wasn't such a thing as congregation. We didn't know what the word meant. They had another word for it. I won't tell you what that other word was. It wasn't a complimentary word. So being a devotee meant living in a temple. And one of the things that he wanted is that everyone that lived in the temple, men, every fortnight they would shave their head. And it was, he pointed that it was a sign that submission was slackening when one started once again to let one's hair grow. Because that was the culture at the time. Hair was a Broadway musical. And it was a Broadway exposition on the counterculture of the 60s. And in the Hair production was a segment of the Hare Krishna devotees chanting Hare Krishna. But it wasn't Hare Krishna people. It was actors that had a skull cap. They didn't have a sikha, they just had, maybe they had shaved heads, but skull cap, that's what I was told. I didn't go see the Broadway show. So, a symptom of submission slackening, you can look inside yourself or in those that you're close to. If previous tendencies start to resume, it's an indicator, it's a flag. An external symptom of something that's internal. The submission is something that's internal. The essence of what we're doing right now is submission and acceptance, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And in honor of that nice image that was behind me of yesterday, Hanuman, in honor, I think, of the Ramayana discussion that we had in October. In case you didn't see the cover of the Vyasa Puja book, it's Ram Lila. So in honor of that, I'd like to explain from the commentary on Ramayana, compliments of one wonderful acharya named Govinda Raja, The Sri Vaishnava picture of what initiation is. And he, Govinda Raja, presents it in the part that we were discussing, the Aranya Kanda. Those of you that are not familiar, there's some Western people here that these terminologies, you know, you need some explanation. Aranya means forest. So Ram was banished to go to the forest for 14 years, which was his arrangement. It wasn't like, oh, it hurts. It was his arrangement so that he could give his association to the sages in the forest. And a whole series of things happen up until the destruction of Ravana's two brothers, or two of his brothers, Kara and Dushan, and Trishiras, a third major general, that were in charge of an outpost, at least that's how it's translated, a foothold in the mainland of India, because the capital of Ravana was the island of Lanka, or Ceylon today. So that's where Ravana was, and to keep protection of Lanka was 14,000 soldiers. Not terrible big number, but it's a lot of soldiers, based in the forest of Dandak. If you haven't received already this, the video recording of these lectures, get one. Because it's all of this, like, how did it get the name Dandak? It has nothing to do with today's event, but I'll say it anyways. Because there's such nice things. So, those of you that like to read Bhagavad Gita, you know in chapter 4 Krishna says, he originally taught the same knowledge of Bhagavad Gita to the sun god, Vivaswan. Vivaswan in turn instructed to his son, Manu, Vivaswata Manu. Manu in turn instructed to his son, Ikshvaku. So Ikshvaku is in the sun dynasty, Surya dynasty. If you read Canto 9, you'll find all about the Sun Dynasty, because Ramachandra appears in that dynasty. So Manu had created a palace, an outpost in Ayodhya, and he requested his son, Ikshvaku, to rule there. So the Ikshvaku dynasty was based in Ayodhya. And Ikshvaku had a number of sons. And one of them, there's details, but he understood one of those sons would be a bad person, a dullard and sinful. And he, Ikshvaku, understood he would have to be punished, because that was an instruction that Manu gave to him. Uphold Dharma, and those who are deviators of Dharma, they have to be checked. That's a Kshatriya function. Those that deviate from Dharma must be checked by the Kshatriya. So use the rod appropriately according to Dharma only, and everything will go very nicely. So his son, he understood, would be a deviator from Dharma. So he gave him the name Danda. Danda means rod. And sometimes rods are used for chastisement, the rod of chastisement. So he gave to his son Danda an uninhabited region. And his son was really good at certain things. But he was really bad at some other things. So he built a big, like, establishment, big palace and this and that. You know, he was good at some things, and one of the things he wasn't good at was abiding by religious principles. So he, Danda, violated a woman, and he was cursed that he would die, and all of the people that were residing there would be destroyed. He told, this sage told his own followers, vacate within 3 days because everything's going to be destroyed. And sure enough, it was destroyed. And that region took his name, Dandak Forest. And during that period of time that was uninhabited, Ravana took the opportunity to send some soldiers there to make protection from a gateway that people may make entrance into Lanka. So it was like what some countries do when they have military bases somewhere else. We won't go into it. So when Ram killed Kara and Dushan, then very next, like, chapter is called Sarga, is Sarga number 31 in the forest section, Aranyakanda section of Ramayana. And it's there. One day it'll be elaborately translated. There's a devotee in Mayapur. His name is Vidvan Garanga. And he's Tamil speaking and English speaking. And he's making a readable translation of Ramayana, because the English translation that's commonly available is Old English, and it's like chewing sawdust. It's really tough. But his writing is really nice. And he's making a translation of Valmiki Ramayana side by side with the commentary of Govinda Raja. So when we get to, when he gets to Aranyakanda, we'll get the details and details. So I'm not giving details, I'm just giving an essence. Govinda Raja explains, prior to the killing of Kara and Dushan, Ramayana is explaining one of the two mantras called Dvayi Mantra that in Sri Vaishnava tradition one receives at the time of initiation. So the initiation process has different names in the Sri Vaishnava tradition. Samashraya is one of the names. Sama means total, and ashraya means shelter. Samashraya. It's another name is Pancha Sangskar. Pancha means five, and Sangskara means impressions. So it's in the procedure. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we all know Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he wrote an essay called Pancha Sangskar. And he identifies what those five items are in Pancha Sangskar. I'm not going to go into it right now. The essence, same as what Bhaktisiddhanta expressed, the essence of initiation is submission and acceptance. So there's three mantras. One of them is one of our favorite mantras. Sarvadharmam parityaja mamekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha yashami masuchaha. So during this ceremony, the Diksha Guru, they have a different name, he gives that mantra or that verse of Bhagavad Gita, because it's part of the samashraya, taking shelter. And then another mantra is given, Om Namo Narayanaya. We discussed this yesterday. I'm repeating it again. That's the celebrated mantra of the Sri Vaishnav tradition. And then the third, according to Govinda Raja, is this Dwayi mantra. And Dwayi means two, and it's a mantra that has two divisions, two parts. And one of those parts is what happens before Kara and Dushan is killed. That is to say, according to Govinda Raja, Ramayana gives commentary on those two mantras. And I'll recite the two mantras, give his translation of those two mantras, and then explain it a little bit further. So the first of the two, Sriman Narayana Charanau Saranam Prapadye, that's the first of the two, and Sri Mate Narayanaya Namaha. There's our Namaha word again. So the translation, Govinda Raja's translation of the first one, I am only hopeful of the shelter of the divine feet of Narayana, just as Sri Devi, who never leaves the lotus feet of Narayana, even for a second. I'll read it again. I am only hopeful of the shelter of the divine feet of Narayana, just like Sri Devi, who never leaves the lotus feet of Narayana, even for a second, even when she was kidnapped. And then the second mantra translation, Govinda Raj, may I always, in all time, place, and circumstances, render all kinds of services to Lakshmi Narayana, Namaha. May I not have the feeling of doing things for myself. So, again, Govinda Raja says that Ramayana is a commentary explaining those two verses, the Dwi Mantra, that one receives during Diksha, initiation, what we're doing here. And Bhakti Siddhanta, by the way, expressed that the teachings of the Ramanuja Sampradaya or Sri Sampradaya more closely resemble Lord Chaitanya's teachings than Madhva's teachings. There's details which there isn't time for in this circumstance. So there's lots of similarity in all of what these teachings say, naturally so. So according to Govinda Raja, up until the killing of Kara and Dushan, the second of the two mantras is being explained, or the commentary is there. And it starts with the first kanda or canto, canto one, Balakanda. And in the Balakanda section, there's the Shrimati, in the vocative becomes Shrimate, and he indicates that's the marriage of Sita with Ram. And Balakanda ends when they go back to Ayodhya as a married couple. And then in Ayodhya Kanda, the Narayana term is explained, because in Ayodhya Kanda, one of the primary elements in Ayodhya Kanda is describing the characteristics, the personal characteristics of Lord Ram. They make him loved by everybody, and everyone wanted him to become their king after the departure of Dasarath from that position as king. So Narayana has character or qualities. There's the name, And then there's the qualities. So Govindaraja indicates from Ayodhya Kanda some of the qualities of Ram that are described there. And he gives the following terms. Sau Balya means accessibility. So those that want to take shelter of him, he's accessible. Ishwara, he's the supreme controller. Durlabha, that is difficult to attain only by the practices of pure devotional service, but sulabha, simultaneously durlabha and sulabha, difficult to obtain but easy to obtain for those who fix their mind upon Paramatma, as the sages in the forest have done, and so Ram comes to them, sulabha. They don't have to go to him. They don't have to go to Ayodhya and find him. He comes to them, sulabha. Vatsalya. Now we know in ISKCON, from Rupa Goswami's teaching, it's one of the five primary rasas. Parental affection, vatsalya, rasa. Another meaning, vatsalya, is the mastership. And the explanation given is, sometimes the devotee will tremble, thinking, gee, what's my qualification for approaching the personality of Godhead? And one of the features of Ram is this vatsalya feature, as he takes away that trembling due to one's feeling of inadequacy to approach him. That's his vatsalya, like a parent will do with a child. Saushilya is, he has an excellent disposition. The devotee may feel, this is the explanation that's given, he's way up there and I'm way down here. It's similar, but you know, like that, I'm so tiny and he's so great. How can he even pay attention to me? How does he even know that I exist? And all those natural human feelings. One of his qualities, Saushila, excellent qualities, is one feels connected anyways. He extends himself to one who wants to approach him. He doesn't interfere otherwise, but he extends himself. So one feels, although I'm this, like Rupa Goswami's teaching is hope against hope, Ashabanda. I don't have qualification, etc., etc., but my hope is he's very kind. So similar. So that's in Ayodhya Kanda. According to Govindaraj, Narayana is being showcased so that the reader is inspired to take shelter of him, because he is one worthy of taking shelter. And he's accessible and he's very kind, and my trepidation is taken away by him, and the connection feeling is made available by him. And in that, it's Shrimate Narayanaya. So Govindaraj focuses on the Aya. And aya, when it comes at the end, a suffix, the end of a word, it means unto. So how does one go unto Narayana? And Govindaraja says, by the mode of service, that's how you go unto Narayana, that's how you go unto the name. That's what we've been speaking about for the last couple of years, about the approach to the holy name is being in the mood of service to the name. That's the aya. The term used by Sri Vaishnavas or by Govindaraja is kinkara. And kinkara is a particular word that means like a really insignificant, like Prabhupada's word in English is peon. That's not a complimentary term. Peon, the servant that's so insignificant, is the peon. And kinkara has that connotation too, like an insignificant servant. But one who has that mood of kinkara vritti, the mood of let me somehow be of service to Narayana. That's the Narayanaya. And the sages, his explanation is, they have that, they're engaged in meditation because that's what they're doing in the forest, austerities and sacrifice and meditation, but they want to be in service to him, so he comes so they can do some service for him. Because of that mood, they want to be engaged in his service. And the last is namaha. So, Shrimate Narayanaya namaha. Namaha means no false ego. Right? We all remember that one. Kara is the personification of false ego. And Ram kills him. So the pastime, namaha, is concluded, the explanation, it's very, very similar. Those of you that are familiar with Bhaktivinoda Thakur's writings about Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan and Krishna's killing of demons in Vrindavan. Bhaktisiddhanta also wrote about the same. It's not symbolic. It's Krishna, by killing the various demons in Vrindavan, he, in effect, is helping the devotee who wants access to Braja Prem. Krishna is removing those obstacles in our hearts. I don't know if Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote like he wrote after reading Govindaraja's commentary, but whatever the sequence was, it's the same mood, that is, the killing of Kara and Dushan was Ram's, in effect, taking away false ego from the heart of his aspiring surrendered devotee, because that's an obstacle in taking shelter, Sharanagati. So, according to Govindaraja, the killing of Kara and Dushan signifies Ramayana's commentary on that second of the Dvi Mantras that initiates receive during initiation, and they're to chant on a regular basis to enter into the mood of surrender to Bhagavan. Because it's only through Sharanagati or surrender to Bhagavan can you connect with him again, because we're disconnected, we're consciousness wise are disconnected. And then comes the first of the two Dvi mantras. That's Shriman Narayana Charanau Saranam Prapadye. That's the first of the two. So, Shriman, Govindaraj explains, is Shri Man. It's Sita going to Lanka to give Sharanagati to Vibhishan. She's very compassionate. Vibhishan is Ravana's brother, but he doesn't have a disposition like Ravana and the others, Rakshasas. When Shuparnaka is being asked by Ram, who are you? She gives her whole little thing about who she is and lists her brothers and sisters, her brothers, And when she mentions Vibhishan, he said he's not like everybody else. He had a different disposition. And Sita, according to Govindaraj, one of the missions of Sita was to give Sharanagati to Vibhishan and his wife. And they became, that's the intermediary, they became devotees. So Sriman Narayana, according to Govindaraj, this is the same, this Vatsalya, this putting an end to the devotee's trembling quality in Kishkindakanda. How he does this with, particularly with Sugriva. And Charanau comes in the Sundarakanda. The Sundarakanda is where, the section where Hanuman is with Sita, and Sita's not sure. Is this a trick? Is this a Rakshasa trick? Can I trust this person, Hanuman? Hanuman understands her mood. So what Hanuman does is he gives a very detailed, something like 99 verses of describing the form, the features, the form of Ram. Sita gets it. He knows Ram and she trusts him. Not only she trusts him, she's feeling ecstasy just hearing the description of Ram's form. So that's this Charanau section where Ramayana is giving commentary on these two verses. It's a detail, but in the Sri Vaishnava tradition, they call this Charama Shabda. Charama indicates last or final. So it takes care of Sita's concern. There's other things that take place, but she's very satisfied and ecstatic just hearing, because she's been hearing other stuff for almost a year. The taunts and torments of the Rakshasis and Ravana and so on. And here comes the glorification of Ram's form. Whew, she is really relieved. And Prapadye is Vibhishan's in the next kanda, in the Yudha kanda, the war section, Vibhishan comes to take shelter of Ram, Prapadye. And Saranam is the final kanda, Uttarakanda, where many, many, many different persons in different ways, very creative ways, they take shelter. The essence is the taking shelter. So that's his explanation of these two mantras, of the sets of three mantras that are given at the time of Sri Vaishnava initiation, and his explanation is, of course, it's not his. It's derived from Ramanujacharya, derived from Sri Shailapurna, derived from Jamunacharya, and ultimately the Goddess of Fortune, explaining all of this through Ramayana. He's just elaborating, gathering, as he, in his own words, gathering what has already been presented in a comprehensive form. He's illuminating what Ramayana is. And it's many things, but one of the things it is a commentary on these mantras. The essence of which is Sharanagati, because it's through Sharanagati that one can reach Bhagavan. And that's what we're doing. This essence of initiation is submission. The essence of these mantras is submission and acceptance. This reciprocation is not a one-sided, it's a relationship. Or as Uma was reminding me of this conversation we had long ago, the question-answer session, the essence of bhakti is relationships. Ultimately, relationship with Krishna and relationship with that which is in relation to Krishna. Like his devotees and the deity and Srimad Bhagavatam and the name and the holy Dham. And it's the relationship with Krishna in various features, forms, manifestations of Krishna. And making that Krishna connection in the mood of submission and being accepted. That's our life in devotion, restoring our relationship with Krishna. That's what initiation is. It's a step. It's not complete. It's submission needs to continue. Submission needs to continue. It's not, I remember once upon a time I submitted to Krishna. It was really great. It's an ongoing process, or process as they say in Canada. It's an ongoing process. Submission, renewing that submission again and again and again. You know, each mantra, submission, each mantra, each name, each sound, each breath, each act, you know, the mood. And with that, acceptance. What's our expectation? The expectation, there's false expectations. But a realistic expectation is Krishna is very kind. That's a realistic expectation. The form of his kindness may look like, you know, we wouldn't design it. But his kindness will always come because he's kind. There's this nice description in the fourth canto of Bhagavatam with Prithu Maharaj. Prithu is an incarnation, and when he is installed as the king, Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, and Vishnu all come. And Vishnu wishes to give him a benediction and ask him what he would like. And he says, like a father that knows what's best for the son doesn't necessarily know what's best for himself. He trusts that his father knows what's best for him. So similarly, whatever you feel is best, you do that. He's not saying, no, no, no. He's not saying, yes, yes, yes. Whatever is, you know is best, and whatever is best, I accept. So whenever comes our way, sometimes it looks uncomfortable. Sometimes it looks really comfortable. And, you know, that has to do with our vision. That's jaded or covered by guna and karma. We're conditioned souls. But the process of Sharanagati is to invest trust in Krishna's very kind, and he'll help us in the best way that's good for our purification. Now, it may not start like that. Supposing our submission slackens, then it goes back to the karma thing. And before we were involved in bhakti, there was the karma thing. And things were moving based on karma. And how we were responding was based upon guna. And we're like caught in this machine of the material energy, guna and karma. And you know, it's not a pleasant ride. Although we want it to be, it's not a pleasant ride. Then along came someone carrying bhakti and said, here, take some. And, you know, our responses were different. Let me think about it for a while. Or, yeah. Or whatever. So here we are in that process of returning Sharanagati. That suffix, agati, is moving towards or attaining sharana. And that's what this is, that's happening here, sharanagati. So those of you that are here to participate, give your blessings and well wishes to these devotees that their Sharanagati, their journey back to Krishna, becomes successful. So I think we're ready now for the next thing, which is, I'm going to need somebody's help. Could you, you know how to get into my room upstairs? Great. On top of the Elmira, there's a bag that has the initiation beads. Going to need those. Okay, that's great.
So, we're going to do Achaman. You wash your left hand with water, the right.
Follow me. Wash your right hand.
Another Chaitanya, could you come here?
Please repeat after me.
Could you come here?
Om Apavitra Pavitrova Sarva Vastang Gatopiva Yasmaret
Over here.
Pundari Kaksham Sabahya Abhyantara Suchi Shri Vishnu Shri Vishnu Shri Vishnu.
Okay, he's got his weapon ready. We'll start with Prakash. Come forward. Rati, you can speak something.
Yes,
ma'am. So, obeisances before Prabhupada, please.
Hare Krishna. So, I have known Prakash Prabhu and his family for about 10 years, 10 to 15 years now. They live in Bloomington. His wife, Purvi Mataji, and he has two lovely kids, Surabhi and Sugosh. So he has been practicing Krishna consciousness very nicely for many years. And out of the many other qualities that he has, he has a unique quality of serving the devotees very nicely. So wherever I've heard about him, Prakash Prabhu, he did this service. He has helped us and assisted us in this service. That's what I hear from many of the devotees. And one of the unique quality of Prakash Prabhu is that he consults Vaishnavas and devotees and senior devotees before he does anything, which is very unique. He has a beautiful set of deities, Nitai, Navadvip Chandra. He and his family very nicely serve the deities at home. He has been waiting for, I think, quite some time to take this next step of getting initiated and formally connected to the disciplic succession. We humbly request everybody to please kindly shower their blessings so that he continues to serve the holy name and also serve Maharaj and Srila Prabhupada and all the Vaishnavas.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
So your vows before the deities and Prabhupada and the Vaishnavas and everything?
No meeting, no gambling, no intoxication, and no
medicine. Very good. And how many rounds you'll chant every day?
16 rounds to me.
Very good. And you'll continue, as you've been doing for so many years, carefully following Prabhupada's teachings. Yeah, very good. Your initiated name is Prana Ballabha Das.
Prana Ballabha Das, Prabhu Ki.
Prana Ballabha, Prabhupada gave that name to one of his disciples. It's the name of Krishna. Prana means life, and Ballabha means beloved. And many times in his writings, the commentary on Bhagavatam, life and soul. So Krishna is our life and soul. So Raj. And where is Ananda Chaitanya? Go ahead.
Hare Krishna. I've known Raj Prabhu and his wife, Sashireka Mataji, for a few years now. They're in Pleasanton, California. And, you know, what I like most about Raj Prabhu is his attachment to devotees, and he, you know, his eagerness to do programs at his home, and his qualities wise, he's really social, and he likes to talk to newcomers, and he likes to encourage them to to take the Krishna consciousness. He really likes to mingle with the devotees, and he also likes to take inputs from them. He's always open to suggestions from devotees, and eager to hear other people's input, you know, what they have to say, how to serve, how to do things better. So he's really fortunate for me to have he and his wife association in California. Really wish him all the best, and I'm really happy that he and his wife have just taken off, you know, so fast, and their eagerness to serve will help them and serve more and more. Yes. Yes.
Long-awaited. How many years you and your wife have been practicing Krishna consciousness? 15 years? Long awaited. Okay, so the vows, how many rounds you'll chant on these, the heaviest beads I've lifted in my life? Vidram 16. The rules that you'll follow? Very good. And you'll continue, as you've been doing, make your best effort to carefully follow Prabhupada's teachings. Yeah. Initiated name is Radha Gopinath Das.
Radha Gopinath Prabhu Ki.
No explanation needed for the name. Krishnarchana, you're here? Okay, can we have the portable? Here's a portable microphone. Take this, raise your hand, Krishnarchana.
Dolly is a student in Mankato in Minnesota, and she has been very instrumental in maintaining the Bhakti Yoga Club at her university. And she works under the, auspices of the university, because she receives funding for the club from the university, and also a great deal of support from a professor who oversees her activities in the club. So she maintains such nice relationship with the professor and the students that she's even managed to get funding for the students to extend their understanding of Bhakti Yoga, which to a large extent is limited to taking prasadam and hearing kirtan. But she's managed to arrange for funding so that their students extend their understanding of the Bhakti Yoga process by taking them to Gita Nagari, where Sharan Paraswami has made a very nice arrangement to for persons interested in yoga to expand and deepen their understanding through connecting with the Bhakti Yoga process. And she's also even taken the students to New Vrindavan at their request. And this has included the professor enthusiastically supporting and going along. So she has very many organizational abilities, and she's very attuned to the cultural component of things. That's her area of study. She's studying, doing ethnic and cultural studies. So very soon she'll be graduating, but just prior to graduation, she has received an internship for 3 months to go to Hawaii and work in the offices of Tulsi Gabbar, who is very inclined towards Krishna consciousness. So Dolly will soon, it's her desire to enter that field, and certainly with her very, acute sense of interacting with those that can help with funding, I can see that she can really assist in the Krishna consciousness movement because of that natural ability and where she channels her energy to bring others and have them be exposed to Krishna consciousness or the Bhakti Yoga process. So I'm very happy that she's taking initiation and that she's committing herself to chanting every day, because there have been moments when the organizational ability gets stronger and she may push that aside for a minute, but I'm very happy she's making that very firm commitment to chanting every day and taking shelter of Sharan Paraswami and his guidance in her life.
Okay, drum roll. Vows. Okay. And how many rounds you'll chant on these much lighter than Radha Gopinath's beads? Okay. And you'll continue as you've been doing very nicely following Prabhupada's teachings. Initiated name is Divya Leela Devi Das.
Divya Leela Mataji ki.
Krishna's pastimes can be known as Divya Leela. So now we'll carry on. Little kirtan.